isn't it strange and sad and ironic? I mean, Herat, one of the Muslim capitals and a lordly, beautiful place in the medieval period, is now another one of those sort of rocks bouncing ruins of Afghanistan. You planted the consciousness with this project of a kind of universal music in our midst, on the eve, as it were, of September 11, and this enormous confrontation. It's striking how the Silk Road coincides in an extraordinary way with the axis of evil that George W. Bush, our president, points to. You've bitten off more than you ever imagined chewing in a certain way, in a kind of culture to save us from our politics, or to save us from division, a kind of coherence to save us from polarization. This is you're in a big fight now.
I don't think we're in a fight at all, because what we're actually doing is to look for precious things and to celebrate what was created that was precious, and to continue to try to seed different ways of continued creativity. Mm-hmm. I think the alternative of that is destruction. It's far better to create than to destroy. And you can
Amen.
Always look for what is positive, and what it takes a lot to create something. We're just in, you know, looking in Florence and looking at the seeds of what actually became the Renaissance. It is amazing to see how long and how many people contributed to what we now call this Renaissance period, and what was involved. We can always work towards another Renaissance, another period where there's giant creativity all throughout. But in order to do that, we actually have to iron out a number of things. One of them is openness, common vocabulary, you know, whether it's improvised music, text music, can you talk together? To answer the question, do we know who our neighbors are? Can we afford not to know who our neighbors are? This is one good way, you know, there are many ways, but this is certainly one good way to approach and to slowly unlock the places that are stuck. I don't speak your language. How can we communicate? I don't know your form. What are your goals? Oh, transcendence. You're going for transcendence in your music. Good. How do you achieve that? Takes 4 hours? Good. Can you do it in 20 minutes? Maybe not. That's the beginning of a conversation. This is your goal. By the way, my goal is also transcendence. Well, this is the way that we've done it, in this way, and this is how you do it, and people have to know this, this, and that. Suddenly, the barriers are breaking down, because I know more about how you try and get to the same goal, and you know more about how I do it.
People ask you, as I'm sure they do, because they ask me everywhere, what about this clash of civilizations, the West against the rest?
What's great about art, I think, and what I love about music, is that I think music can incorporate paradoxes and contradictions, the way you can't sometimes in very specific language. And I think what is really good about music is that if the goal is to create an empathetic imagination for people or places that are further away or maybe very close to us, then our goal is to find the mechanism and the vocabulary to create that empathetic imagination. Once you do that, and once you know, and you can organically incorporate what someone else's thinking is into your own, I promise you, you don't lose your identity. Your identity only becomes richer. So it's not about how necessarily, you know, global homogenization or whatever, but rather, if I know more about you and the way you think, it helps me in the way I think, and it helps my identity. Mm. And it is not a clash. But you know what? Sometimes people are afraid. If I'm afraid of you, if I'm scared of what the way you think, and I view that what you do is slightly dangerous to me, I might push you away. That act can be very destructive and harmful. And I think, so we always, every individual has that choice. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be a clash? Am I going to push you away? Or am I going to try and learn something about you by finding out how you think, which then can be helpful to me? My background as a liberal arts person in college, I think that definition, it's not about jobs. It's about trying to find a way to understand the world. And it's not about trying to say, okay, but it ends with the Atlantic Ocean and that's it. Hmm. It's about understanding everything. You know, for 2 years, I served as a trustee of the Rockefeller Foundation. And what that, the experience of hearing fabulous people talk about that work, I think has in many ways changed my way of thinking about my own work and about the way I think of the world. Because so much of the foundation's work had to do with places that I didn't go to, that I haven't been. So it forced me to really just think about the totality of the world. And I think, again, we need a new vocabulary to think about all of this. And I'm concerned with the cultural part of it, with it, specifically in the musical part of it.
You refer somewhere to the Silk Road as the internet of antiquity. But I think of you as a kind of a great big piece of the internet.
Antiquity.
Somewhat like it. I mean, you're a huge, larger-than-life neural network of a great slice of the world's music now, and you have it in you, and you can move in almost any direction. Somebody was saying to me, you're something like Mahler or Brahms. You're such a student of the past and yet poised toward the future, and you can go almost anywhere. You can make things a commercial success. You can make other musicians stars. You can cast, you can set the direction. And I wonder how you do it. How do you not only keep your coherence and your balance, but how do you choose where you want this whole complex of gifts, your own and allies, to go next?
Well, I think you're way exaggerating all of this. I can tell you it's very simple. You stick to the knitting. I play the cello. Through playing the cello, and I do it not by saying that there is one cello sound, but that through an instrument, by doing something as well as I can and going as deeply as I can, you can actually then enter into a lot of other worlds. And it's really through my background, my education, and my experiences. And the core is still my family. You know, somehow that's the engine that keeps me going, and working with an unbelievably great team of people that all have different knowledge bases, but have agreed to work together.
Sounds like the internet.
It really is. Well, it's a human version of trying to look at the way the world is. Thank you. And so that we actually have, in a way, a fellowship of somewhat like-minded people, mm-hmm. that we realize that nobody knows everything. So the only way we can actually have a glimpse of you know, a real perspective on the world is to actually really find out about what each one of us knows. And if we then can agree on working towards something, we're that much richer for it. So we're not producing products and then that's it, but rather there's a resonance that goes with it. And hopefully, you know, the goal is a kind of sustainability, and whatever we do, hopefully, is available to anybody else, because the invitation is do likewise and certainly do better. Because then we are building culture. We're using, well, what a friend used to say in science, that his work in molecular biology was building culture with one brick at a time. I think of cultural bricks, that if you do something that's somehow interesting enough and people can put their handle on, saying this is okay, then someone can go on top of it and build something else.
Listening to Yo-Yo Ma, you realize that inside the performer, there's a pioneer and maybe a shy sort of preacher. There are rich implications there about globalism. Where the warriors are prepared to see conflict, he sees contradictions that the vocabulary of culture and music can embrace. They're thinking about war. He's thinking about a new renaissance. For me, the core of that conversation is Yo-Yo Ma's invitation to the passionate, the curious, and the generous to listen deeply and be prepared to take part in creating something new. Surely he wasn't speaking only to musicians. Please visit our global community online at thewholewideworld.net. The Whole Wide World is a collaboration of Leiden and McGrath Productions and the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard Law School, in association with WGBH Radio Boston. We had help from producers Ben Walker and Catherine Bidwell, from engineer Tom Tiger and Jake Shapiro of the Public Radio Exchange, Jay Allison of Transim.org, with support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, is our radio visionary. Thanks also to Keith Kaya Wilson, Justin Grotlucian, Keisha Parsons, Josh Ward, the Christian Science Publishing Society, and public radio stations WCAI and WNAN on Cape Cod. Support for this program is made possible in part by the PRI Program Fund, whose contributors include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. Mary McGrath is our executive producer. I'm Christopher Lydon.
Yo-Yo Ma, you teach us so much. I'm so grateful for this conversation. Lead on.
Thank you.
Lead on. We're following you.
Come with us.
PRI, Public Radio International.